And we're back. This is the 80s, 90s, 2000s vibe podcast, episode 122. I'm your host, as usual, Matt Corbin, here with the fellas, Jamar, Lee Boy. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone listening, fellas. How y'all feeling today?
Oh man, hey. Oh, look. Decline. Decline. Look. Happy
It be like that.
Valentine's Day. I'm getting a
Yeah.
call. Hey, what's up? No. In fact, my whole rant is about Valentine's Day and holidays in general, because I'm not feeling the love on this Valentine's Day. But you know, she forgot my gift. Oh, I can't find. She said she hid it. She hid it and
Uh-oh.
can't find it. That's some bullshit.
Oh man.
Uh-oh.
I
Yeah,
mean,
that ain't going unlocked.
I talked to a couple hoes, man, but I don't fuck with them enough to be telling them happy Valentine's Day.
A
So,
couple holes,
so
yeah.
it's Merry Christmas, though. What
Man,
you mean? Man, and I ain't big on the holidays, but I'm not one of those people just because I don't really fuck with the holidays like that. I don't try to force it on people, man. Rock out, do your thing. That's why I'm surprised I got you two gentlemen here today. I thought y'all, I ain't know what y'all had planned. God damn.
oh, look, we are
Oh,
distracted. We tapped
yeah.
in. Look, we tapped in. Hey, before you go in, Matt, can I just go ahead and go with my irritation for the day? Because
Please
if we
feel free.
already
Let
didn't
them
put
know.
it
Get it
out
off
there.
your heart. I see it's on your, yeah, it's on your
Yeah,
spirit. Let
let me tell you about something that irritates me. It's the holidays. It's the Valentine's Day expectations. I ain't no Jehovah's Witness, but I don't believe in none of this shit. Get this out of the way. It's all money grab. Everybody already knows from Christmas to the Easter bunny and all the y'all just want us to buy some Easter eggs, and on Valentine's Day, y'all just want us to buy some chocolate eggs. I ain't into it, but I will partake as long as I get something back. But this year, I ain't get shit. I'm gonna just go ahead and put it down like that, because any given Sunday is a Valentine's Day to me. I might take you out for dinner. I might grab you some shoes. We might go out and have some fun out here. It gonna cost me couple hundred dollars. It's the same thing. So why do we need a whole day dedicated for me showing my love to you when I ain't getting no love back? I ain't getting shit back. And you know, really, it's just no positive return. That's the way I'm feeling about it right now. That's the way I usually feel. And this year was just another confirmation. Is the worst part is if you ain't got nobody to love on the holiday, are you just not participating? Are you just not invited to holiday? Are you not worthy to celebrate Valentine's Day? That's the way it seems like to me. So you gotta have a loved one to even partake in the holiday. So let me just leave it right there. The only thing that's irritating me this year is this Valentine's Day expectation. This is the 80s, 90s, 2000 vibes podcast. My name is Lee Boy. Let's continue on. Look, I had to just get that out because we already had spoke on it, and it's been hurting my soul today, man. She said my gift was hidden somewhere in the house, and she can't find it. So that's her story. She's sticking with it.
I
That
just
sound
want
like
to say, first though, for you to
you.
say basically my accountant said Valentine's Day is not a good investment, that's some of the funniest shit I've heard in a long time. That's one.
Oh,
Two.
man.
I went back to my hometown this weekend, and I hate when I do that shit. I didn't mean to cut you off, Matt, but Good. found out one of my exes is with one of my other exes now. Like they're
Ooh.
together in a relationship. Oh man, that shit, it was funny to me. Oh, hey man, I hope they're happy, man. On the small town loser shit, whatever. That shit was, I say this is why I don't come back home, bro. Cause why you thought I needed to know that? You see me in Walmart, bro, just speak, hey, how you doing? What's up, man? Good to see you. Take care. You know your ex with your other ex, they together now? Man, congratulations, man. That
Wait,
shit
and
was,
that is two ladies?
yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. That's just par for the course nowadays. So my bad, my bad. I'm just trying to get it straight. I'm like two exes.
Nah, yeah, bro. And I was like, yeah, that was information I didn't even know. But I was like, take care, bro. I ain't gonna see you for another 10 years, I
Hey,
think.
you know they pillow talking about you too. Oh,
Yeah.
Jamar,
This
you know he
what?
run the 80s, 90s, 2000 vibes now.
Oh man, they man, look.
Jamal said he had the chance to blew
I plead the fifth. Oh fuck no, I don't miss neither one of these girls, by the
it.
way. I plead the fifth, man. I hope they're happy. I think.
God bless him. And in fact,
Yeah.
leave us a comment and tell somebody to
Yeah,
follow. In fact, everybody follow on Patreon, follow the podcast, and tell a friend to follow as well. We love y'all.
please, please,
Appreciate
please.
you. And happy Valentine's Day. A couple days late, but we recording this on a Wednesday, so you know what it is.
It is what it is, man. Let's get into it, man.
Right, ladies. I know y'all ain't feeling the holiday, as Lee Boy said, but I know something that y'all are loving, and Lee Boy especially, because he got to be there.
the Kobe Bryant statue, fellas.
Hey.
Obviously, 2/8/24 to commemorate Kobe and his daughter, who obviously lost their lives, unfortunately, in the helicopter crash. They came out, they gave a special jersey, a Mamba-style jersey, which I thought was super dope as usual. And then, obviously, they had the statue. Some fans pretty much were up in arms saying, you know, they wasn't feeling it. But in the words of Vanessa Bryant, Kobe picked this pose, and if you don't like it, tough shit. So, fellas, what do you think of the Kobe Bryant statue and, you know, crypto and the whole shebang of thing?
I'm gonna let the Mamba fan go first. Go ahead.
Hey, yeah, you know what? And I'll be completely honest, because I have said it a couple times in the past. I wasn't a huge Kobe Bryant fan during his time here on Earth. Actually, I would say during his time on the Lakers. After he actually retired from the Lakers, I became a huge Kobe Bryant fan. Not really the basketball player, but just as him, as a person, his message to the community and how he dealt with the people. I really respected how he came and represented Los Angeles. Now, I had a bad experience with Kobe. He didn't sign my jersey in person. I ended up getting the signed jerseys up on the wall over my son's bed right now. So much love and respect. But as far as the statue, love that one, he picked out the pose. And I do love that that is from the 81 game, because to him and to, you know, that was the culmination of his career, especially in the number 8 jersey. Now, as far as the 21st jersey, the 24 jersey, you could choose the pose with him up on the scorer's table and he got his hands out like this after he won, I think his 5th. I would say, or that might have been his 4th, actually. It's like his coming out party in the 24. But I would say when he scored 60 in his final game was just ridiculous in the 24. But as far as the 8 jersey, people saw him as a dick. People saw Kobe as a fucking ball hog. Well, I was a Shaq fan at that time. And, you know, he really won me over in those years when he was playing with, even without Pau Gasol, and he was like grinding and really, you know, grinding out games and really getting some tough wins. That's when Kobe really won me over. But in the 8 jersey, when he got that 81, I think that really is one of the peaks. So I think it makes a whole lot of sense. And then, of course, we're going to get a couple more statues. He's already mentioned he's going to have one with Gianna and another in the 24. So I'm looking forward to those. But yeah, I was able to see it in person on Saturday. It was put out on a Thursday. We did some early Valentine's Day celebration. Just more money just shelled out, right?
Okay, come on,
JW Marriott had a little club event. Totally fun. But I seen people there night and day between the Saturday and the Sunday, literally as early as 8 in the morning. He had a whole crowd just surrounding the statue. People were loving it. And it really was like a surreal and also like an experience, sort of like it was a memorial. People were very respectful, you know, showing their pictures, showing love. And it was only a positive vibes around the statue. So I'm loving the first installment. I expect even more with the second two, but yeah, what do you guys have to say about it?
I don't have a problem with the pose either, bro. And that's one of those games I watched because it was on NBA TV. That was 06, I think. Oh, yeah. I watched that game live, bro. So I don't mind the pose. I don't really like how it look. It's not the pose. For some reason, I don't like how it look. I don't know why, bro. It's something off about it. I'm surprised that you said it about Kobe, bro. I'm going to keep it a stack. I always related to Kobe because I feel like I'm similar in personality, meaning when I go to work, I'm naturally quiet, right? So when I go to work, I'm not looking to make friends. And I always respected it about Kobe, bro. Everything was business. It was nothing personal. It was never personal. And he did come off as a dick sometimes, bro. I'm not even going to lie. As he got older and later in his career, he worked on it. You could tell he started trying to work on it. But I'm like that, bro. If I don't fuck with you or know you like that, it's all business. Like my last job, my last corporate job, bro, I was like that. Meaning, when I saw you, it wasn't no, man, get the fuck out of my face. It wasn't none of that. It's like, what's up, man? How you doing? Good morning. I don't care. That's it, bro. What we doing? What's the project today? What we got to get done? I don't care about the Super Bowl, who won the game last night.
Like, that remind me of Smush Parker. He said he never talked to Kobe in 2 years. Yeah.
And if I wouldn't talk to Smush Parker either.
See, that's just foul.
Yeah, I bet you. But that's what's crazy, because Derek Fisher never had a problem with Kobe. You know why? Because Derek Fisher worked hard, and Derek Fisher was great at his role. Derek
right, Fisher wasn't even superstar. That nice, but yeah, he was, like you said.
But no, he was a superstar at his role.
For
and
sure.
Kobe trusted him. He was the only one that Kobe probably trusted to run a triangle besides himself. So my last corporate job, I didn't make a lot of friends, and they probably don't have too much great to say about me personally, which makes no sense because it's a job and you don't know me personally. And I didn't really care, bro, because it's a corporate job that I didn't care for. It's not my black people. It's not around the environment. Of course, I'm not like that in this environment, right? I didn't care because I was great at my job. So that's all I cared about. You can say what you want. He's not friendly. But you can't say that I'm not good at my job. That's all I care about. Because I was scarred at a job when I was in college. Ended up in a lot of drama. Started thinking they were my friends. Started going out with these people. They were two-faced talking shit behind my back. And I told myself, yo, never again, bro. Never again. And I've been like that ever since. So I always respected that Kobe's mindset, because Kobe, it's not like Kobe was a role player. He was the best player in the world. So I think he can care less about how you felt about him. He know if we win or lose, it's my fault. And that 81 point, like you said, that was to me, that's how he retired in that number 8 jersey. Because I think the next season he went to 24. And I remember him seeing him on the NBA. I don't know if y'all remember this game called NBA The Life.
Mm-hmm. It sounded like it was in that Ballers type of NBA game series.
Yeah,
Ballers.
Yeah.
Was it Ballers?
And he was on the cover. He was on the cover of the second one, and it had number 20, and he had a number 24 on. And I was like, what the fuck bootleg game is this? Why Kobe got number 24 on? They were like, no, he changed his number. I was like, that's cap. What are you talking about? And I didn't really see it until the opening season, like the game opener, because I mean, social media wasn't big like that. So I was like, he really changed it. It took me a while to get to 24. So
we didn't know about and all that at the time. So yeah.
Right. I'm eager to see the 24 statue and the one with his daughter too. So like the statue, I think it looked a little off, but
well, yeah, what do you think is off about the statue and the look? I know he looked a little bit more cut. Like he don't quite look like, you know, I don't think any of them look perfect. But was there
I think Shaq's is perfect. Mm-hmm. I think they told the perfect pose.
I think what helped Shaq is that Shaq actually has a logo that's established though. And have.
And it's that, and LeBron, and we all know when LeBron gets a statue, we already know what it's going to be. It's going to be that signature.
Right, because I feel like, to y'all, I just want to throw this out there. I was mad saying, yeah, you know, it should have been a Kobe dunk, but it's like, respectfully, there's really no quote-unquote iconic, there's multiple iconic Kobe poses of dunks, but there's not really too many dunks.
It's his fadeaway, bro. It's his fadeaway.
You know what I mean? He was more of a finesse type score. Like, even Jordan, as good as Jordan is, it's like, yeah, don't get me wrong, Jordan has more legendary dunks because he was more athletic, but most of his game is, like I said, is game winners. It's not just the dunk. That's what I'm like, yeah, I like the Kobe pose to my point, but I think, honestly, sometimes they do this, I feel like, even with big projects, you just don't get the best person to sculpt. Maybe it's, you know, a family friend. Maybe it's somebody trying to do a favor. To me, this is what this is, because it just seems like the work isn't great. It seems like the concept is there. Like I said, the physique is great, dope, all that, but the craftsmanship, it just doesn't seem clean.
Man, what I think it is, it got a little white in the jersey. And
maybe that could be it, yeah.
And Kobe, and this may sound weird, but I've been an NBA fan my whole life. Kobe, when he got a little older, his physique kind of changed, meaning, yeah, it's the white.
Let me not laugh. Well, I'm looking at it right now. It just, is that Kobe? Like if you just put this, like just his face, you don't even know if that's
that looked like him in 2K10. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, bro. But when he was still wearing number 8, when Kobe got older, his physique kind of changed a little bit, pause. He got a little slimmer. Like, when he was 8, he still was kind of, I ain't gonna say, you know what I'm saying? But it looked like Kobe, when he retired,
Yeah, he wasn't as cut. No, yeah, he wasn't cut in during those years. And yeah, I did notice that because I, you know, I am a stickler for little stuff like that. I'm looking at the how the muscles popping out, the inflection. I'm like, his legs and arms wasn't quite as defined as they had them on this. But I didn't really pay that too much mind. The jersey do look kind of crazy, like it looked kind of wrinkled up. I was looking at all kind of stuff.
Is not, yeah. Bro, if it would have been all gold, I don't think it would look like that. Like, I think it's the white in it.
I don't know if that's what's throwing it off. Is that cake? Or like, is this cake? But that's what that remind me of. Like, there'd be certain cakes you can't even tell the difference. And then that one, that's a cake.
That's a cake. Yeah. That ain't Toby. That's a cake right there. Yeah. No, and then just to go back to the, you know, just the me and Kobe and the issues, I always just try to keep it 100 because I have mentioned that story a couple times. He came on All That. He didn't sign my jersey on the set. I end up having to send it to his manager, and then it came back to me signed. So, you know, I was just a little bit, you know, a little bit perturbed, a little bit hurt. Thanks. He was very busy. This is Kobe. But I have also met Magic Johnson and Shaq on a couple occasions, and it's just a totally different vibe. You know, they're with the people, they smile and they kicking it back. That's personally more of my personality. Stop. Same thing with like a LeBron. They always smiles and shits and giggles and making sure that they are making everybody feel welcome. Whereas if you meet, you know, a Kobe, or if you, I've heard the same thing about Jordan, they're going to be like more reserved, more protective of their aura, so on and so forth, because maybe they don't want to have those negative interactions with fans, right? So they may protect themselves and make sure that they're just not putting themselves out there like that. So Kobe, that's what I would say is like kind of the root of my issue, quote unquote, with Kobe the person. But when it comes to the his personality or his persona, and him, the basketball icon, I have no issues with Kobe, even when he was a selfish bastard on the on the court when they said he couldn't pass. But you know what I love? He said, I seen these dudes in practice.
They in practice, yeah.
Why would I pass it to them knowing what they going to do? I know what the hell they going to do. They going to miss. They going to bullshit and they're not going to be prepared.
I think I would be similar, bro. People like, man, Jamal from Avery, he's a dick, man. Like, because, and it's because I'm naturally shy. I'm not really the friendliest. I have to know you to, I'm at my old job again, I'm going to keep it short. My best friend walked in. They were like, man, you turned into a complete different person. And I was like, of course. I've been knowing him since we were, that's been my best friend since we were 4 years old, bro. I don't know you. And I get people being like, man, I don't never want to meet him again, because some celebrities I don't want to meet because I don't want them to ruin what I think of. So I just admire them from afar but I understand, because I'm not the friendliest person either. So that's why I understood Kobe. I wouldn't, if I was a teammate, if you want Kobe to like you, just work hard. I think once he see you work hard, I would assume he would slowly open up to you. Pause.
No, yeah, I think he respected you, and I think the prime example of that is Lamar Odom. You see, with all his issues before we just move on, and he always supported him. Remember, bro said, you know what I mean, he got him out of crazy debt, you know, hundreds of thousands. Yeah. You know, I think he said it might have even been seven figures, but it was definitely six. So, yeah, it just, I think, like you said, it all depends on, you know, your surrounding. I definitely was a huge Kobe fan, but even listening to both of y'all give y'all take it, like, I can see when you look at it from both standpoints.
Yeah, I had a story with Peyton Manning being a dick towards me, not signing my autograph, even though it wasn't for me and I was working as an intern. But I'm going to let that go.
Yeah, and I have completely let it go. Even before his passing, you know, I always just sang his praises, especially in the 24, because I just gained so much respect for him once he did it on his own, then got Pau Gasol, won two championships. He just really showed his maturity. And then I will say, in general, what Vanessa Bryant has evolved to, you know, at first, when it first happened and we heard the news, she was, you know, a wreck, and she was making appearances, but obviously distraught. And she's just coming off so strong. And for her family and the girls, I just want to sing her praises and just more prayers and blessings to the Bryant family. And, you know, I wish them all the best because they are really pillars of the LA community. And I think it's going to be like that for some years. So hopefully they just keep it on the straight and narrow and represent as well.
RIP to everybody that died in the helicopter crash, man. RIP Kobe, Mamba forever. They just go to show you, bro, life is short, bro. I don't think Kobe planned on dying that day. You dig what I'm saying? That's why you got to go for it. Whatever you want to go for, go.
Like any other time.
Go for it. Whatever you want to go for it, bro. You never know when it's over. Like, that was a bad day for me, bro. I shut down when I got the news. So, Mamba forever, man.
Nah, yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. Yeah. But speaking of, Jamal, you mentioned two things. You mentioned Peyton and you mentioned going for it, and that's diving right into the Super Bowl, fellas. Now, you had Usher, performance of a lifetime. Some people saying, I heard it was Michael Jackson-esque. I'm going to ask your opinion, but obviously.
Oh, no.
You can shut that down. Go ahead.
They had Alicia Keys out there, so that was what had the internet, you know, going crazy. And of course, fellas, we saw that the Chiefs were able to pull it off in overtime under the first play of the overtime, you know, postseason rules, 25-22. So, fellas, Jeez, what did you think of the outcome of the game, and what did you think of that performance by Usher?
Bro, I didn't give a damn how bad the Chiefs played in the first half. I told you last week I had Taylor Swift for the dub. I didn't care that Vegas had the 49ers as the favorite. That did not matter to me. Yeah, as bad as the Chiefs played in the first half, the 49ers couldn't put them away. I was like, the Chiefs are playing horrible, and y'all still down only about 7? It was 10-3 at halftime? So, man. I was I don't know, man. The 49ers, I'm going to say this. The 49ers can't talk about the Cowboys because you get to the fucking Super Bowl, the last three they've been to, they lost.
So, yeah, you know when the last time they went? I had to see it on Instagram.
Go ahead.
94. We won in 95. So fuck y'all. Bang, 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 bang on Niner Gang. 95, baby. You know what I'm saying? We out here. Y'all was talking like y'all won 10 years ago, 5 years ago, last year. Y'all ain't won in 30 plus years, man. Get the fuck out of here, Niner. Look, and I got a whole lot of Niner fans. I ain't even texting them. Yeah, I ain't going to do them the way they did me. Because they was texting me all during the Green Bay. Hey, what's up in the first quarter? What's up? Fuck y'all. I don't take no hater calls. And I ain't delivering no hater calls. Y'all know what it is. Y'all feeling horrible right now. I'm loving it. Sorry.
But yeah, second place don't matter, bro. I don't give a fuck.
Ain't one shit.
Yeah, the Saints went 13-3 and we lost in the NFC Championship game because the refs fucked us over. Nobody cares, bro, that we went 13-3. Nobody remembers that. If you don't win a Super Bowl, it don't matter. You know what I'm saying? So
did it like twice, I think.
Yes, bro. So, yeah, I called it. Taylor Swift got 50 seconds of time. I didn't know Taylor Swift and Ice Spice were such close friends, bro.
Well, they just got a little track together. You said that was Carrot Top?
Usher halftime performance was.
No. Don't get into Usher yet.
Go ahead.
Because the Niners, I also called it for the Chiefs. I think I called it 21-17, which would have been close if they would have ended it during regulation. And a lot of people lost money on the under because of that overtime. They put up 10 points in overtime. The under was looking good. It was a low scoring game the whole game. That overtime just killed a lot of money in Vegas because it literally went over by like 1 point. But I will say that I believe that the 49ers were just ill-prepared. We've heard a lot about taking the ball first in the overtime. I do believe that that is a flawed strategy, even if you want to get the ball third.
You think so?
Yes, I do believe so, because you're telling Patrick Mahomes this is exactly why. Patrick Mahomes, he converted a 4th-and-1, right? All remember he ran the ball on the option. They potentially punt that ball. If they take the ball first and it's 4th-and-1 and they're on their own 20-30, they potentially punt that ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge risk knowing that you can put your defense back and you could possibly stop the 49ers, you're not going to go for the fourth down. Okay, maybe fourth and one, maybe they do. But if it's fourth and two, they're not going for it. They're going to punt the ball, and then the 49ers get the ball back and they can win the game. So that is the disadvantage that you're putting yourself at, knowing that you have to go for it on fourth down. Every first down is four downs, and you're giving Patrick Mahomes that extra down throughout the series. So I think that's a huge disadvantage. And then on top of that, say the 49ers did score, right? They scored 7 points. And say the Chiefs come down, they score a touchdown. They're going for the two, and you still lose.
That's game. That's game.
So there is no winning.
You think they was that scared of Patrick Mahomes in overtime? You think that's what it was?
I think they didn't really calculate the rules. I think they were still playing on the previous rules that if you get a touchdown, you win. And that's just based on them never having a meeting, not prepping their players. I don't know what Kyle Shanahan's whole strategy on that. Maybe he's smarter than me, but I just don't see any advantage of taking the ball first in those scenarios, because he's saying, oh, he's playing for the third.
That sounds ridiculous.
Could go for a 2-point conversion and you're done. Eight to seven in overtime. So that just doesn't make sense to me. Miscalculation. So I mean, so I will say that. And then just on top of it, you know, they were up 10 points. They were up multiple scores, and they just took the ball away from Christian McCaffrey. Huge mistake. He was getting, it looked like 7 yards per play. He was killing. Other than the fumble.
Patrick Mahomes do that to teams, bro. I think he do the teams what Steph Curry used to do the NBA. I ain't going to say used to, still do.
Abandon the playbook. We scared. They going to shoot threes, and we don't know what to do. We got to shoot threes now.
because they think you got to be flawless to beat this person. Matt, what you –
I honestly, I think they choked, right? Because if you look at it, people always talked about the whole season how Mahomes and Kansas City, they couldn't catch anything. But the 49ers, we all know they have weapons. But not one of those weapons was able to crack 100 yards. And if you look,
man, Kittle got his ass.
This whole
locked the fuck keeps them down.
Locking everybody. You got Tyreek Hill, you got Jalen Waddle, you know what I mean? You look at Baltimore, they locked up all those guys. And then to lock up realistically the 49ers, like Jamar said, to me, I always looked at Kansas City like, y'all in the clear, because they got the offensive weapons to have 25 points in this first half, yet they have 10. Y'all got 3, and everybody say, you know, y'all weapons suck, but the defense was good all season. So to me, I feel like I said, like, overtime aside, I feel like the 49ers was screwed because, they just couldn't get going with, like, in my opinion, 10 times the weapons Kansas City has on offense. No matter
how. Man, Kittle got locked down, bro.
Locked down. You know what I mean? Like,
and
he cost me money, bro. 4 fucking yards. I think he only had what?
He had,
damn, like, bro. 10, George Kittle, I just needed 25 from you, bro. God damn.
Hey, that is a money killer, a spread killer. If you put any money on Kittle doing anything, you got shitted on in the game.
Bro.
So that's definitely my take on it. But great game overall, like I said, you know, very entertaining for the fans. They said this is the most watched game, I believe, ever. If I'm not mistaken. So
no, the most watched TV event ever.
TV, there you go. TV event.
Ever. Not even just game, most watched TV event. I personally am a stickler for defense. So I was locked in like this is a defensive strategic game. This is a chess game. It's named checkers. This is chess. My son was locked. We Mahomes fans. We're obviously big Cowboys fans, but we also root for Mahomes. And we got to see him at Disneyland once he, was able to take over and celebrate. We got to see him, which was great. But he was checked out first quarter. You know, he was like, especially once McCaffrey got that damn touchdown, he was hurt, crying, and he takes it real serious. But I love to see these type of games because I always just try to instill in him that it's never over till it's over. You keep going to the last play. You never know what could happen, so on and so forth. And the Chiefs is just another example of you just play every down, every second, every minute, every inch in football. And, you know, this is a game of inches. They literally just came back, and it wasn't that unexpected to me. Like you said, they were only down 10-3, and they just kept fighting. And the 49ers, they took their foot off the gas. They should have kept running with McCaffrey. Big mistake.
Yeah, I was big chilling at halftime. I was like, What, man, the Chiefs are on, bro. I was not scared or worried at all. And I'm more of a 49er fan than I am a Chiefs fan. I chose the Chiefs because that's where the money was. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like he's the best player in the league. And he's going to be a problem for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, you just brought up the halftime, you know, but I'll say I am only going for the Chiefs, obviously, because they're AFC. I don't go for nobody NFC, especially the 49ers, the way they done done in our Cowboys and talking all that shit. Y'all ain't won since 94. Get the hell out of here, man. Get to the halftime show, man.
Nah, yeah, fellas, yeah, just getting back to that brief. Like I said, one, first of all, what are y'all thinking? And two, like I said, going back to people obviously jumped and comparing it to Michael's. Do you think it even touches it? So, yeah, what y'all thinking?
No,
Come on.
I'm not a prisoner of the moment. I'm a huge Usher fan, just like everybody else.
Me too.
The halftime show was good. It was not great. I didn't. I understand he only got 13, 15 minutes to rock.
Something like that, yep.
I don't like it. I couldn't enjoy some of the songs. Like he was going through them so fast, and he got a lot of hits, bro. The dancing was great. I knew he was gonna bring out people. It was cool, bro. It's not Michael Jackson in '93. It's not Prince in '06.
Is it even
It's
Rihanna?
I don't think so.
I think I personally got him beating Rihanna and The Weeknd, the two most.
That one I'm surprised you said because that was one people online were actually saying was clearly better was the weekend one. So that's interesting to see here.
And look, I got 10. I think 10 that beats Usher. I don't put him. People are trying to put him in the top three. I've even heard top one. I've heard people
That's
saying this
cap.
is. I literally have heard people saying this is the best. And
Said
that
everybody
just
said the
sounds
top one to
insane.
me. I don't want to hear no more your measuring scale because that means that tomorrow you're gonna have another top one. What? Like
That sounds crazy to me. Like, so stop me when you think if I'm incorrect about these, because I have a top 10 that I think is actually a little bit better than Usher's performance. Michael Jackson, obviously. Like, do y'all see who you seen recently seen Michael Jackson? He did a whole TV trick where he appeared at the top of the stadium, and he came down on the stage in the middle of the field. Now, I believe it's just television, right? So it probably wasn't like that when you were there in person, but still, why didn't Usher do anything like this? I'm not sure. I believe Coldplay, I have them at number two, bro.
What
Coldplay
year
with
was
Beyonce.
that?
That was, I want to
Let's go.
say, like 4, 5, 6 years ago. It was
Okay. All right. Billy Reese.
at, I want to say like 2018. I'm not really sure. But Coldplay, that's when he came out with Beyonce and Bruno Mars. And Beyonce did the formation on the field. So Usher's already stealing from that with the whole band on the field doing the dance. And then what Bruno Mars did, he made fun of Beyonce. They had a battle, and they did Can't Believe Me, Just Watch. All that was crazy. I believe that was one of the best to me. I have that at number two. I like the Dr. Dre performance. I have no
I do
problems
too.
with it.
I do
I think
too.
it
I
was
like the whole
amazing. I
West
have that at,
Coast.
I got it as number three. I got Beyonce as number four by herself. If you watch hers, she had a lot of television tricks of virtual reality. She was going in and out the screen. She had Kelly and Michelle pop up, and she did a lot. You got to rewatch it if you haven't seen it. Bruno Mars by himself. Incredible. He played the drums. He did the Ray Charles, not Ray Charles. Ray Charles don't dance. What's my guy today? James Brown.
Stevie
My fault. He did the
Wonder, James
James Brown. He did the split. He did the little twirl, the James Brown shit. He killed it. You got Prince. You got Janet Jackson, Maroon 5. I also have Katy Perry and Lady Gaga and U2 above
yeah.
Usher. I'm personally, Katy Perry, I don't know if you remember, she had the whole "I'm a Lion." She was on a huge ass
Videos is wild, so I'm not surprised.
Lady Gaga started at the
Lady
top of the
Gaga came from
stadium.
the top of the
Yeah.
stadium.
Yeah.
Usher, that's the main thing that I was missing from Usher. This is Vegas. And the biggest thing that they're talking about is that he changed his outfit. He went into skates, or that he was hugging on Alicia Keys. What is the big moment that everyone is discussing other than him hugging up on Alicia? And do you guys think that was flagrant?
Man, Usher, bro. Matt, go. I'm gonna go ahead.
You think that was flagrant? Him hugging on Alicia in a performance? I don't know. That's the biggest thing that everyone's talking about, right?
My thing is, I think they, and they can say whatever they want, right? Because Swizz Beatz came out and was like, y'all worried about this, that, and the third. If this is my wife and I really didn't care, I would have never said nothing to me. Now it's like one of those things where you could say it's entertainment, but it's like realistically people getting on your head, man, like, nigga, you crazy? That making you feel the type of way. That's why I'm like, yeah.
It's entertainment, bro. I try not to look at it through a normal person's eyes because these are entertainers and this is what they do. But like you said, bro, Lee Boy, that's the only thing people are talking about. They're not talking about the actual performance. Like when Prince performed in 06, it started raining when he sung Purple Rain, bro. Like what the fuck? What are the chances of that, bro? Michael Jackson popped
He
out
just
live.
sat there and
Ready for
just
that.
stood in
Bro,
silence.
and that's how when anybody argue with me about Michael Jackson being a GOAT, I show them that clip. He just popped up out the stage and stood there, bro. He didn't do nothing. And the
He
longer
only
he stood
had
there,
13 minutes as well. He took a whole 30 seconds to a minute just to sit there and just bask in the energy like crazy.
bro, that's GOAT shit right there, bro. Like I said, bro, we Usher fans, and I think we all can agree it was a dope performance, but it wasn't nothing. I ain't gonna say it. You know what? Maybe I need to get away from it for a couple of years. Meaning, like, y'all ever heard an album and yeah, originally you don't like it, then a couple of years later you re-listen to it, like, hey man, I slept on this album.
Let it marinate.
Yeah, maybe it's that, but I don't think it's top. It may be top 15, top 10, top five. I don't
I
think
got it
so.
in maybe 9 to 12. So I am, for me, he's battling. I liked Maroon. I did like Maroon 5, Katy Perry, Lady Gaga quite a bit.
No
So
nipple slipping though, Janet Jackson. No.
Janet Jackson, I have her at number 6, right under Prince.
Nobody remember
No,
Britney
number
Spears
seven.
Super Bowl.
That's number seven to
Not off the
me.
top of my head.
I don't even remember Britney Spears performance either.
Oh, okay. I remember that.
So yeah, I didn't have her in. No, she. They did a whole pop year where it was them, NSYNC, and I don't know Backstreet Boys, but there was a whole like pop sensation. They had a Motown 40th anniversary with Boyz II Men. That was pretty dope. But really, Michael Jackson sparked everything in 1993. Before that, it was kind of just like country acts and little magic tricks and bullshit. It was like some bullshit
Yeah,
before
y'all
that.
know the story of why? Do y'all know the story of why they started doing halftime performances at the Super Bowl?
Because them Cowboys? No, I'm
Living
playing,
Color.
but.
Kenan Wayans and Living Color had put on some half a halftime thing the year before, and they people so many views went to it. Correct me if I'm wrong, y'all,
No,
because
you're right.
I'm
You're right.
paraphrasing. So many views went to it, and they a lot of the views didn't come back, and they was like, nah. The next year, they got Michael Jackson. That's some petty ass, powerful shit.
Yeah,
Like,
about
and
20
Living
million
Color
views, I
took so
believe,
many.
what it was exactly, 20 million.
And they were like, man, fuck that, Michael Jackson. That's a cold secret weapon to have. Like, all right, I'm gonna fix your ass.
That's
He
true.
got the most popular entertainer in the world, bro. I think nothing will ever top Michael Jackson. I'm sorry, 93.
I agree. I agree. I mean, he had the entire crowd. They all had them little pictures. They did the Heal the World and it showed all the kids of all different colors. And right, I don't know if you remember. So a complete art crowd participation. It was just it can't be topped. He's just the best of he's the best of all time, best performer of all time. And I think the people that are trying to put Usher in even the top three, to me,
He tripping.
maybe they're just. Yeah, maybe they just didn't do the homework and they it's just recency bias.
And
But I'm not hating.
y'all about just about to say that we all Usher fans. To the listeners, we not
I'm
hating.
an
We
Usher
love
fan.
Usher. Y'all think they're gonna let Lil Wayne do it in New Orleans next year?
Cash
No.
Money.
Jay-Z's at the helm, so you never know. We would definitely have to see, but hopefully.
So
I
we
think
definitely
Cash
gonna get
Money got a
Lollipop.
shot.
Cash Money got, especially
Cash
PG Kid.
Money? That's
I
not
don't
happening.
think they could do Lil Wayne by himself, man.
Maybe
I don't think
maybe
America can beat
YMCMB.
Cash Money.
YMCMB, yeah, Cash Money, nah.
I think,
That's
well,
too.
yeah, YMC, and by that I mean YMCMB predominantly. Wayne, Nikki, Drake, but I think you have to just get, you know, back that thing up real quick, you know, just bring Manny
Fresh. They can be a little part of it, but they can't be the main.
No, but I'm telling you.
I think Drake, Wayne, and Nikki is the play.
This is how it's going to happen because it's in New Orleans. It's going to open up with Manny Fresh on the ones and twos. That's what's going to happen, bro. Then it's going to, if it's going to be Wayne pop out first, then it's probably going to transition into Drake and Nikki. If I think that's how it's going to happen, if it happens.
Either that or Taylor Swift.
Oh, we definitely get a Taylor Swift Super Bowl. Y'all might as well get ready for it, bro.
It's either they somehow convince, you know, Jay-Z convinces the NFL to have cash, you know, Lil Wayne and friends up there, or Taylor Swift just overpowers everything. I would not be surprised by that at all. You know, I got the Travis Kelce haircut right now, apparently. You know, a two of the
apparently.
So, so it's just inevitable. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially if they back next year, if the Kansas City look like anything, if they draft a receiver, oh, they gonna lock Taylor in quick. So,
yeah, we're gonna see, fellas. Hopefully, some years to come, we'll come back to it. But past Super Bowl reactions, fellas, I want to get into Quiet on the Set because obviously, with us being the 90s nostalgic vibe, you know, network. Quiet on the Set, to those who do not know, is coming to HBO Max. And I'm not going to get too much into it because we have somebody who I believe makes a cameo appearance. He'll get into that, Lee Boy. But the documentary pretty much is touching on Dan Snyder, no pun intended, and his exploitation and whatnot within Nickelodeon as a whole. But on that part, yeah, Lee Boy, I'm gonna let you take over from there. I'm bad with words.
Hey, last week, y'all go listen to last week's Quay asked me, did you ever have a one-on-one with Dan? No, hell no. No, that wasn't even that wasn't Quay. That was Fidel on our Nickelodeon episode. Go check that out on YouTube. Hell no, I had no one-on-one, and I was definitely not touching on Dan Snyder other than in this doc. But I'm excited. I'm excited. I think and is that a pause as well? Yeah, everything's a pause right now.
Yeah, well, with Dan Snyder,
I ain't that excited. Man. Relax, yeah. Money. you know, I'll say I've talked to a couple of people that have been involved. There's the Giovanni Samuels, my guy Brian Hearn, Alexa Nicholas. She was on Zoe 101. I'm pretty close with her. Katrina Johnson is one of the people that I was really concerned about her participation in this documentary. So I want to just kind of speak on behalf of everyone and say, hey, look, this is not really an indictment on Nickelodeon the way it may be perceived. It's more about the bad people in specifically Dan Schneider, right? There's bad people at Disney. There's bad people at Nickelodeon. There's bad people at MTV. There's bad people at HBO. I mean, let's just keep it real. Bad people in this house. There's bad people everywhere. So, you know what I'm saying? So it's good to call out bad people and just put them in their place and also to speak your truth. So as far as the people that are scared being part of the documentary, you know, I would just encourage you to, you know, stand on business. You know what I'm saying? We out here. Don't, you know, lean on us. If you lean on me, if you need to. We're not against Nickelodeon or Viacom or Paramount. We're against bad people and the bad things that they do. So that's number one. And then, you know, I'll say that they got some wild clips of me. They got some wild stuff that I commented on. And it's going to be a 4-part documentary coming out 2 episodes at a time starting March 17th on HBO Max. I'm super excited about, you know, the final outcome of it because it was unfortunate circumstances around Dan Snyder and some of the cast. And he was, you know, he was crazy on set. I don't know, he was just a little bit of a brooding force. Someone that you may, you know, be a little bit intimidated by in general, but at the same time, you wanted to impress because you knew he was a man of power on the set. So you definitely got to watch. Make sure if you haven't seen the trailer, go check it out. Put out by Investigation Discovery. What you think of the trailer, Jamar?
Oh man, when you told me about this, when you told me it may be coming soon, when you told us, you had me day one. Oh shit, This for me. This for me. This for my generation. You ever want to get me, make a documentary or something. That's how you get me, bro. Like you said, the trailer, with the trailer, I get what you're saying. It's about the monster. If he's a monster, Dan Snyder, bro. It's not about the network. It's I'm pumped, bro. I'm watching the first night. I'm watching all four. I'm excited, and I'm also curious. You know what I'm saying? Because he's somebody that I grew up watching too. Because he would do skits every once in a while. He would be on all. He was in the first Good Burger movie.
He was in Good Burger.
Right,
yeah.
right. I remember on the Amanda Show, he would be the old man when Amanda would call. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Number.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, bro.
He was the voice on Have a Nice Day with Leroy and Fuzz. That's Dan Snyder, yeah.
Was he the voice for Ask Ashley? Of course he was.
I believe he was the voice in Ask Ashley, yes, as well, yeah.
Yeah, dog. For him and any monster out there, man, y'all 2024 the year, you getting it. Whatever you done, bro, 2024.
Hey, serious question. Was he as sweaty as he looked?
Hell yeah, he's clammy ass. No.
Clammy ass hands. Some
dudes, hey, bro, you trying to hug on me? I just felt like, you know, it's just you stick it to me, bro. Relax. No, in general, I can't really remember, but it just seems that way, right?
Like, I didn't know who he was at the Good Burger, and all I'm thinking now, once I got older and knew, I'm like, bro, look slimy in the movie. Like, whoever he was, like, yeah, he looked like you're sweating and you're out of breath. Like, yeah.
You know, and I'm gonna be talking about it in the actual doc. We'll see how it gets clipped up, but he was one of those, you know, hug, come over here, show some hugs and love, and give you a handshake, and you know, I think Black people just kind of shy away from stuff like that, especially when you're a 10-year-old kid. Your mom's like, all right, you know, like it ain't too much. And I just remember, you know, Amanda be, you know, sitting right between. I don't say like right between his legs or him hugging her from the little stuff like that, that just wouldn't fly inside certain homes in certain spaces and with certain guidance. My mom would just not fly for shit like that. So I never found myself in a lot of those situations, but I totally understand how white people do. You know what I'm saying? It's just par for the course for them. Just to be hugging up with a 40-year-old man just don't fly for me. So, you know, I think, In the trailer, though, there's an empty chair at the very end. They're like, oh, this person's going to tell their story for the first time. A lot of people think it's going to be Drake Bell. And so I'm interested to see who that is. I would love to see if it's Jamie Lynn Spears. I doubt it. But
maybe Amanda?
I don't think she was around. I don't want to put out. Yeah, it's possible. I don't think so, because I know they were definitely trying to get Amanda around and try to hit me up as far as my resources there. She was very hard to find, especially during that time. That was while she was out naked in the streets and doing the most. So, I doubt that she's in it. Maybe. You never know. But in general, you know, I do think they tell a good story, very thorough, and they have people that were actually there, adults that could speak to the times and didn't even realize what was going on set. I know I was one of those people where, you know, you just kind of stay away with from people with certain vibes and don't really realize what's going on. But, you know, I will say he was just in general an intimidating figure that wanted it his way. And he wasn't there for two of my seasons because of his issues with the other producers and writers. I think they split ways in seasons 5 and 6, which I was there for. So I had limited actual interactions with him. But in the later seasons that include Giovanni, Brian, those all that seasons, and obviously the Zoe 101s, also I believe the iCarlys and stuff, they have plenty of things to discuss. So I'm on the edge of my seat. I know some of them still don't want to talk about it to this day. Like Ariana Grande is not in this. She had a whole foot in her mouth, her own foot. So wait, you ain't see this, Matt?
She a whole superstar. That's why.
Yeah, you ain't see that, Matt?
No, sir.
I'm gonna send you a clip. Yeah.
I've seen it.
That's when it's funny. I went to Giovanni you know, Giovanni and I had met years after her stint on All That. I actually visited her once in Atlanta because I was doing a I did an interview with her, Angelique, and also one of the newer cast members as well. And I put her on to some of the Dan Schneider stuff. She was very shocked. And the main thing was Ariana Grande with her own foot in her mouth. Ariana Grande double fisting a potato.
Yeah,
it'll get wild. If you just look at Ariana Grande, Dan Schneider, and that just speaks volumes. I think. What? Say that again.
It's not even a fetish. Like that's not.
But, hey, I know people who like feet, bro. I'm not. No, one,
I know son. People in hell that's not having sex that nasty. Like, what are you really into with this potato? Like, man. You're adding too much. You're doing
you,
too.
Bro, you be surprised. You oh, bro, I agree with you. We on the same side, bro. But you be fucking surprised, bro. I don't care how much I love you, sweetheart. I'm not putting your toes in my mouth. That's just not happening.
Do you know
that's
what
just, that's doing? Not happening.
You got corns, bunions, funions, and you done walked all day.
But yeah, she had her own foot. It was her own foot at least, though. But
she flexible.
Hard as they was working, y'all. No pun intended.
Yeah, you know her shit was fucked up.
But nah, Lebar right, black kids, man. Like, you know, I told you, a man tried to kidnap me when I was a kid. I was outside playing basketball at my cousin's house. He put up to his little pickup truck. Hey, man, I got some candy, man. Boy, fuck you, boy. I ran it out. I was like, bro, I'm 8, but I'm not stupid, my nigga. Like, no. And then when I went out to my cousin, they're like, stop lying. I was like, look, man, somebody tried to kidnap me, son. Tried to offer me some candy. But yeah, you're right, man. We had that second instinct, like almost like the T'Challa instinct, bro. Like, nah, bro, you can't get me with that. Yeah, there you go.
Wait. Wow.
And that ain't even the main one. Look, this is the main one right here. Look. God damn. She deep throwing the foot.
I mean, if I was her, I might not want to talk about it neither.
Thanks.
Yeah. I'd be forgetting that she was even on Nickelodeon. Drake was on Nickelodeon. A lot of people have made it.
He had a whole, but he done left the country, and he had a whole other, you know, that's one of those bad things. Like, once you start having your own legal stuff outside, it's unfortunately for some of these stars, I think that's why so, even when he was Amanda.
We ain't gonna never get a Drake and Josh reunion?
No.
That's sad.
Josh don't even get paid right from Drake and Josh. He done been on different podcasts.
Hell, if Keenan and Kel can get back together, so can Drake and Josh.
Yeah, they could do it.
Could, but I think, I don't know what Drake stands, like if how he is in the United States. Like, I don't know, like, yeah.
Yeah,
because he's the one that had the legal issue, right?
Yeah.
And I was talking about Drake the rapper was also Nickelodeon and Ariana Grande.
I was talking about Drake Bell.
Before I was talking about Drake Bell, both of them obviously was on Nickelodeon and have had huge careers. But yeah, Drake the rapper didn't have any interaction with Dan Schneider. But obviously Drake Bell. But it's just funny how many people have, you know, crossed those Nickelodeon, you know, been on those Nickelodeon channels and on that outlet. And it's just it's very interesting what is going to come of this documentary. I'm excited. I don't know what's going to be in it. Most of the people that interview don't know everything because you know how they chop this shit up, man. We was just telling our story and it's going to look crazy. I'm going to tell you that right now. How
far supposed to release if you do know?
So it's supposed to be a 2-night event, 2 episodes each night, starting on March 17th, I believe, probably the week after on March 24th. It'll probably end the week after or maybe 2 weeks after. So, man, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be crazy. And I will definitely be reacting from now to then, anything that comes out. But once it comes out, we're going to have to sit down and talk about it, man. Especially at SplatCon, we might have a whole panel of just everyone that was on Quiet on the Quiet on the Set panel, right? We need to talk. Let's talk that talk.
Yeah, so I'm still waiting for this Freaknik doc. Man.
I think that comes probably like the week after.
They hit me up about my footage on Freaknik. I showed you guys that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, what's up?
I wasn't there. I just said something about Freaknik a couple years back, and they was like, can we use your footage? Hell yeah, go ahead, use that shit.
Man, let me get that, man. It's okay, ladies, man. You grown now with kids, man. You don't gotta be embarrassed. I'm jealous. I went up nothing but a freak Nick. So, you
hey,
get
we can
me.
bring
You
it
want to
back.
get me facts? You want to get me make a doc or something? I'm
about
there.
To say if you're gonna
I'm
bring it
there,
back
bro.
This time, you need people to bring their paperwork to the front. Cause yeah,
in fact, Dan Schneider, the freak at Nick, he already brought it back. Freak, that's the freak Nick. It's the doc. Hey, they're getting two documentaries for one. Freak Knicks, all the freak Knicks.
Oh man, like I said, sweaty gotta chill, bro.
that's too late. That's too late.
Does not come out, bro, and sweaty.
God,
it's over. It's too late.
Oh man, but we, like I said, we're gonna leave that alone. Definitely gonna revisit, hopefully go live. Like I said, Lebo, appreciate you definitely updating us on what's going on with that. But fellas, want to move on to something a little less serious, and that's some nostalgic movies. Now, Loving Basketball, fellas. I know I've talked about it a while. Me and Jamal, we talk about it often. Great movie. Talk about, obviously, you know, the basketball that was playing in it. It looked good to us when we were children, the message behind it. But the biggest question a lot of people always wondered was, who was more selfish and who was kind of in the wrong, Monica or Q? Because, you know, we obviously see in the end that they ended up together, but we see, you know, the nonsense they had to go through. So, fellas, considering how it ended and everything that transpired from first to fourth quarter throughout the movie, what do y'all think?
Man, as far as for Monica, I wish the fuck I would knock on somebody's window in the middle of the fucking night, the night before they get married, and beg them to play basketball one-on-one for their fucking love. I wish I would, bro. It's not that I'm a, now that I'm an adult, bro, it's cringe watching Monica do that shit. Because as a kid, naturally, as being a guy, a boy, I'm on Q side. But as an adult, man, Q was a bitch. And I'm not talking about Omar Epps, the person. I'm talking about the character he's playing. I love Omar Epps, legend. He was a crybaby-ass, spoiled brat, bro. And he didn't deserve Monica, son. And it's gonna sound, it sound like I'm caping, but I'm not. I'm just keeping it in the stack, bro. Y'all both are, let's assume they both 4 or 5-star athletes, right? You going, y'all both going to USC to play basketball. You got a career, bro. Yeah, she do too. And she had to work a lot harder to play than you did. You was the freshman sensation. Everybody on your dick paws. Y'all know how they go.
Dad was in the league.
Right, right. NBA player, but big man on campus. So I'm not saying you're not a great, you weren't a great basketball player, but she had to work. Like, she wasn't starting at first. Girl on the team beefing with her. Bro, she, man, let, and it all come from his dad cheating on his mom, which I'm pretty sure he's been doing since you was a fucking kid. You just found out about it, bro. Man, let that girl go to her dorm for curfew, bro. Don't do that. Don't be selfish like that, bro. Q was wrong, bro. If I'm Monica, I'm not playing him for shit. Let his ass get married to the girl, to Tyra Banks. You deserve better. Come
but
on,
Jamal, was it more selfish, though, for him to do what he did, or was it more selfish for her to even ask?
Ask for what?
Ask at the
no,
end.
No, because, bro, at that point, we got here because he was selfish. He didn't give a fuck about her getting in trouble for being out past curfew. That's when he was really pressed, because after that, he started tripping. He took the hold of Burger King. Like, that's when he really started tripping on Monica after that. Then he broke up with her. And they lost contact for years, bro. So, no, I wouldn't have done no begging-ass shit like that. But at that point, that's how she still loved him. So, she ain't had no pride or dignity at that point, bro. It's cringe watching that shit. I wouldn't. Man, go your ass to sleep.
It is wild for her to really challenge him, knowing, you know, he's a male basketball player. You can't beat him. And so he should have just said no. Like, why are you going to beat her right down like that and just
he dunking
her
on it and shit? Yeah.
Why are you going to do that? I don't, like, you know what? I don't need to do this. I'm sorry. I got mad love for you. I ain't going to, you know, crush you in basketball right now. You got to play for your love. What's she saying?
Nah, nah.
For your heart,
I'm going to keep it a stack, Lee boy. You waking me up, I'm crushing you. You waking me up, because I'm the type of person that's hard for me to fall asleep. So when somebody wake me up, I'm pissed. So you waking me up a night before my wedding, I'm beating a 30 to nothing. When he took the knee brace off, it was a wrap.
Look, the only thing I will say was more selfish about Monica is that she's trying to get to the WNBA. He's trying to get to the NBA, and you trying to prioritize your career with him. You know they only make 10 cents on the dollar. Not even 10 cents. They're making about 5 cents on it.
And that was
just go ahead 90s. And invest in his career.
That was the first year the league was around. She was on the team.
That's fucked up, man.
Go ahead, be a trainer for Q, because y'all ain't making shit. Y'all making what? 50,000? They're not even making 50,000. They getting killed, bro.
His money there. Realistically, that's what
she had to go overseas.
Yeah, that's why she was just making that just to do. He had some M somewhere, realistically. From
because of his dad, but he turned out to be a fucking bust.
But he had a contract, though. Bust or not, Kwame Brown still got some.
That nigga, and you know when a nigga grow a gold tee, it's a wrap for that nigga in the NBA. A nigga who never had no facial hair. In the 90s,
you old.
Yeah, a nigga who ain't never had no facial hair, all of a sudden grow a beard, goatee in the 90s, they career over, bro. He was coming off the bench on the Lakers. He didn't grow a goatee. Man, he was a bust. And maybe it was because of injuries. It don't matter. She ended up being a bigger star. She went to Spain.
Nah, she still only got star. About $2, though, bro.
Bro, she did, but remember, it didn't matter, right? Because at that time, a boy, like, that's like Reggie Miller and his sister. Don't get me wrong, Cheryl Miller is dope, but unfortunately, because there's no WNBA that's equivalent to the NBA, some people will never, you know, herald her the same way as Reggie. It's like, so I see your point, though. But yeah, I think
that. Bro, Q was a hoe. Q was a spoiled little punk. His little feelings was hurt because his parents was getting a divorce. Whoop-de-doo, bro. Black American dad story, my nigga. Y'all both, you still rich. You still going to the NBA. What's the problem? I don't know who was worse, him or Will from the Bel-Air series. Like, he every 5 minutes, bro, crying, bro.
Yeah, you made it out of poverty, you in Bel-Air. Like, you still... Come on, bro.
Bro, every 5 minutes he crying, bro. And Q was just overreacting. I can't say he's overreacting to his parents getting divorced. That may be tough for him. And I don't really give a fuck about a lot, so I'm looking at it from my perspective. And I grew up in a broken home, so that's probably why I look at it like that. Monica was trying to be there for him, bro, and she was trying to make sure she good. What's wrong with that? Did y'all, throughout the movie, did y'all ever get a feeling that she didn't care for him?
No, she did, but I was just going to say, like you said, right, he was spoiled. So I think for him, he's like, well, I'm used to people being here for me. So if you can't be, clearly it's not important enough or whatever the case is. And then you see, I definitely feel where you're coming from. But Pete, you know what I mean? And his whole world is falling apart, blase, blah. But to me, no, she definitely cared about him. But to me, she was wild because, like, yeah, ain't nobody in their right mind. Like, even your mother wouldn't, like, no girl I know, her mother be like, yeah, go over to that man's house before he about to get married and tell him how you feel. Like,
yeah, where's your pride?
Like, imagine if his girl was there, whatever, and she came out and just was like, yeah, now we throwing hands. What are you talking about? Like, we're not playing no ball. You shit me?
Where's your pride? Where's your dignity, bro? He didn't deserve Monica, bro.
You're right about that, because I mean, and this goes beyond Monica and crosses over to Sanaa Lathan. Yeah, don't ever play Sanaa like that. Don't do that, especially during those years she was a gem. I will say, and back then, you know, I actually auditioned for this movie several times as Lil Q, like, you know, with Kyla Pratt. Was hurt to death when I seen it come out. I'm like, damn, little dude, but just like me with the same fade. Definitely, you know, and
that's crazy. I ain't know that, man.
Yeah, definitely auditioned for Lil Q. And I remember a bunch of friends around there. And that was kind of the same around the same time. It was like the same people that auditioned for Space Jam as Little Michael Jordan and also Michael Jordan's kids. I just remember it was maybe the same week, within the same month or two, I believe. And that was just a great experience in general, just to see all those people that eventually got rolled up into that movie. But that movie is forever classic. The storyline between Q and Monica is really unbeaten in a lot of sports, especially in sports films. You can't really top it. So anytime we got a topic about this, I would love to debate y'all. Just let us know more. If you want to hear more about Love and Basketball or others, we'd be happy to oblige for sure.
Who worse, Monica and Love and Basketball Steve and Family Matters, Jamie Foxx and the Jamie Foxx Show, Nicky Parker and Professor Ogilvy.
Who's the thirstiest?
It had Nicky Parker, bro. It had to be Nicky Parker.
Oh yeah, yeah. She got played,
thinking about that shit.
Yeah, for years.
Bro, it was an episode where she was just rubbing on Professor Ogilvy's door, bro. I don't even think he was home. She was just caressing his door. I'm like, yeah, dog. Come on, have some pride, man. I know pride's not a good thing, but in an instance, back to Monica, man, ladies, kings, queens, know your worth. Don't do no shit like that.
And fellas, if you were going to just leave your wife the night before, you shouldn't even made it this far. I'm going to keep it a stack with
facts.
You. So the game of 21 facts ain't determined in my heart. I don't know.
Yeah, she was right next door the whole time. If that's how you really felt, you should have been next door. Come on.
Yeah. I'm smashing a 40-0, bro. Like, no, go take your ass to bed.
You kidding me, floaters?
It's all dunks. It's all dunks.
He should have just dunked on her the whole time.
You gotta remember, I'm not about to dunk straight up to wake up and pull a hammy, so I'm going with the floaters. Yeah, I gotta get warmed up.
It's his fucking NBA career over any fucking way.
I'm gonna keep it real. I ain't playing. Like, you could catch some. We could play NBA Live tomorrow. Something, you know. You got next. I ain't doing. You tripping. You tripping. You a girl. I'm sorry. You a girl. I'm an NBA star. I'm an NBA prospect at this point. Come on now.
You can come in here. You can come in and bend over. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, really, yeah. Should. We can just out like, yeah. Oh, last
you,
oh, night.
You really love me, huh? All right, prove it.
Today, no way. So.
Yeah, but yeah, nah. All seriousness, man, don't do no shit like that, man. Know your worth. Have some dignity in yourself. That shit embarrassing, man. It's tough to watch as an adult.
Yeah, so that was a movie, y'all. But in all seriousness, and moving on to the next topic, that could cause a war. And speaking of, we have what we call the comedy civil war, fellas, amongst us right now. Now, to those who have not known, Cat Williams started the year hot as fish grease with the interview on the Shannon Sharpe Show. And pretty much went at a bunch of people, past grievances, you know, told his truth. Monique has followed up as well and now went on Shannon Sharpe's couch and pretty much told her truth, called out Tiffany Haddish, amongst others. Some people responded, some didn't. But fellas, right now, the biggest thing is from there, you now have Williams' interview has spilled over to Mike Epps and Mike Epps and Shannon Sharpe as well, with Mike Epps threatening to shoot Shannon Sharpe at All-Star Weekend. So fellas, seeing all of these comedians that we all loved, you know, growing up, number one, do you feel like you're forced to pick a side? And two, do you feel like anybody's right or wrong in this situation, or is it just bad as a whole? Talk to me.
Yeah, I mean, and then the tour, too, with Cat Williams is now, Monique has hopped on there. Tori Hart is on there, which is a dig to Kevin Hart. Is Mark Curry
Mark
on that
Curry.
Tour, too?
Yeah,
is he on that tour,
Curry
too?
On. Yeah, he is.
Is Mark Curry okay?
He's hilarious.
Have y'all seen it? Y'all follow him on Instagram?
It's funny. I follow him.
He be at Walmart trying on Shaq shoes and shit, you know, looking crazy. But I don't, I'm just, you know, just a little wellness check on Mark Curry. But in general, just make sure you all right, bro. You know, GoFundMe right there in case you need some. I think the comedy civil war is definitely currency. I think there's a lot of currency in comedy and them going back and forth and talking about each other and being on Instagram and being on the live and you talk about her, what you going to say at the show, what he going to say at the show. I think there's a lot that goes into it that way, because it is important to drum up some interest in general in the comedy community. So I think a lot of it stems from that. I don't think that Mike Epps should start any problems with Shannon Sharpe. Especially physically, I don't think that's a great matchup for him. And I don't think it'll go their way. It's
right
not
now,
going
bro.
They ain't gonna do nothing physical. So, but what are you gonna say, Jamar?
No, everybody jealous of Shannon Sharpe right now, bro.
Yeah, he really wanted his attention, which is why he had to comment after Cat Williams was what there. I wish you would have said my name. And obviously he jumped in the DMs, and now Shannon Sharpe is giving him the attention that he wants. And I didn't hear he was going to shoot him. He said that.
He didn't say that.
See.
He said, I can only do one of two things, and I ain't doing no fighting lately. So he was basically, he's made the sounds, and I'm just looking at bro like,
Okay,
what?
yeah,
Like,
fine.
y'all 50 years old threatening to shoot each other.
No, Shannon ain't threatening to shoot nobody.
He
Shannon just said,
shooting, man. But
yeah,
still.
Shannon was just like, I'm gonna see you, bro. You lying on my name. They both too old and too famous for this shit. Mike Epps did lie and said, and he admitted he lied. Man, like he said, Shannon Sharpe DM. Shannon Sharpe ain't gotta DM nobody to come on Club Shay Shay at this point. That shit hot as fish grease. And he just dropped an episode with Desi Banks, I think. And Shannon Sharpe don't gotta DM nobody to come on Shay Shay, Club Shay Shay.
Not
The
at all.
fuck? But I'm
And
pretty
if he
sure,
wait,
and
and
I
if he do, you gonna be like, okay, it
facts,
ain't gonna be
facts.
a conversation. You'll be like, for sure, I'll see you next week.
Hundred
I don't know, but I'm gonna assume he seemed like a pretty old school cat in the way he thought, he thinks, his process, how he go about things. I'm pretty sure, man, if you just hit up Club Shay Shay, Club Shay, if you just hit up Shannon Sharpe and ask, he'll give you a yes or no answer. You don't gotta play just because he's on the internet. That don't mean Shannon Sharpe plays internet games. He strike me as a person. Look, man, you don't gotta do all that. Just come holler at me. Am I right or wrong? Do y'all
I
agree?
agree. Definitely gives that feel.
Yeah, bro. You don't gotta do a problem game. You wanna come on the show, nigga? Just say that. Nah, I can tell you yes or no. Whatever I tell you, you gotta eat that shit like a man. Don't lie on me, though.
So what you're
And I
saying is
just.
Mike Epps really played it wrong. He could have just asked and been on the show by now.
I mean, apparently, allegedly, he said he DM'd him. At the end of the day, I think Mike Epps got what he want because I'm gonna assume during All-Star Weekend, Shannon Sharpe, after this Desi Banks episode, I think Mike Epps gonna be the next host guest on Club Shay Shay during the All-Star break.
And it's
So
going
I
to be
think
his
he,
hometown, so why not? Yeah, I mean, it'll.
right. I think he got what he want. It just, the way he went about it, I don't know. Who am I to judge? I'm a fan of Mike Epps. I like Mike Epps. I don't. I get. I'm the type of person I get irritated when people do unnecessary shit. Like, bro, you don't gotta do all that, bro. You could have just told me. I'm like that, bro. I'm like this type of person I am. You could have just asked me or told me. You don't gotta play all these fucking games. I don't like that, bro. We too old for that. You know what I'm saying? So I think he will be the next guest on Club Shay Shay during All-Star break. How he got there, I don't agree with, but who am I?
I just want to throw this out here because obviously, people talking about like Lee Boy's point, it's definitely about dollars and cents and bottom line. But I just think that with some of the people, it's one thing to go out, and speak your truth. But I feel like some of these conversations can be had, in person. The reason I say that is because I'm not sure. I could just be misinformed, but I can't remember too many of the top white comics, whether they had issues with each other or not, going on public platforms, knowing y'all already have made tens of millions touring. Like, it's not like any of these people don't have audiences already, right? So for me, I feel like at some point we gotta call this with this all this to an extent, which is clout chasing, because all y'all's already famous. It's not like y'all trying to get a buzz. Like, I look even like when I think of like the streaming community, like sometimes they'll make up pretty much a whole situation, right? Like they'll be in somebody's house fighting, whatever the case is. You're like, oh, this is fake, but that's because nobody knows Nelk 2539. But everybody knows these people, so it's like one of them things was like even telling us some of these stories. I feel like now, like about Steve Harvey, it's like, all right, Steve Harvey's been bald now for like 15 years, so what difference do it make if you pay with fake? Not to say that that, but you know what I mean? That's my only issue with it. It's like, yeah, it might came dollars and cents, but it's like at some point, y'all clout chasing like everybody else.
And I'm gonna keep it a stack. And I don't like how DL talking to Monique. And I'm not saying that DL not justified in talking to Monique that way. Cause I don't know the details. I don't know who's lying, who's telling the truth. I don't like how far he's taking it.
That's a
And
female
he,
there.
yeah, that's what I'm saying. And bro, with the it's unfortunate that you're gonna have to pay somebody to love you. Or you may have nobody who ever loves you ever in your life, like shit like that. Like, and again, if Monique says somebody's family, then hey, I guess the gloves are off, bro. But god damn, bro. It was rough to watch. And I like DL. That's why it's rough.
Yeah, DL
Man.
looks, he's been looking very petty with his back and forth with Monique. Right. It just looks sad. And it's really beneath him because he could take the high road. He has a whole radio show. You got a bunch of stuff going on. And you was probably on the bill under Monique. You know, that's where it all comes down to, right? That she was supposed to be the headliner and he was supposed to come on second and he tried to force his way to be the headliner. And this was following the whole Oprah stuff. And so people really wanted to hear from her at that time. At a different time in life, he could have been the headliner over her. So it's nothing against his career. But I think it just seems very petty and sad that they would go out like that.
Is DL a headliner to y'all?
Yeah, once upon a time, and I think it by itself, yeah, of course, but over someone else that is on his level, it's kind of hard for him to draw those audiences and really draw up the, because she comes with a lot of not just history, but just a lot of controversy, right? Where he doesn't really have that other than now he has it. Because of Monique, but other than dealing with Monique, he doesn't have any controversy out there.
So y'all going to a DL show? Like just him by himself?
Honestly, me personally, no.
I would. I am a fan of him, although I've never gone to one, so I can't say that I, you know, have actually invested.
You know what I'm saying? If
DL and Monique are both going on at the same time, I personally would go to DL. That's me personally, though.
That's
fair. I'm going to Monique.
I'm be honest with you.
Right now, though, today I'm going to Monique.
I like both of them. I'm going to see Monique. You say right?
Oh,
now,
bro.
I'm saying without the controversy, like in them in the 90s, and it was just to me without in the controversy of going against each other, I would choose DL. I think, but right now, I think Monique is funnier and she has more to say. I would definitely. I couldn't miss her show.
I would have chose Monique even more back then. Believe it or not.
Really. Yeah,
when she was bigger.
I just think to me, and people can say what they want. DL Hughley, even though he was one of the kings of comedy, he was always seen as to me the most inferior of them. Not, and again, that's not to us.
Matt, you read my mind.
Okay,
you read my mind.
You know what I mean? So that's what I'm like. Monique was always it. Like, you know what I mean? People, Parker's made $2 billion. You know what I mean? That one show. And she, like she said, niggas around the country wanted to be Professor Ogilvy. So it's like.
And the Parkers, is it fair to say the Parkers is a more iconic show than the Hughleys? Am I saying that right?
Most people
have not seen
the Hughleys in entirety.
I can't remember an episode.
You know how the Parkers is. You know classic Parkers.
Oh, yeah. The Parkers is
and a I love them both. Shout out to DL Hughley and Monique. But yeah, I'm going to see Monique.
Yeah, facts. And the Civil War is good for comedy, I think. I think comedy needed.
Yeah, everybody except Dave Chappelle loving it because he don't got no beef for drama. He just smoking somewhere, thinking the jokes. But everyone else that is going back and forth and, you know, basking in the controversy, I think they are going to continue to hop in the same way Mike Epps inserted himself. We going to just keep seeing people insert themselves and say, hey, this is monetarily great for us. And I think, you know, Cat Williams, I don't know what his tour was like before, but he was right next door. I always say I got an arena right next door to me. I didn't actually go to see him. I wish he was there now. I would have definitely paid whatever.
Lunell, she's been doing a lot of work with him. Like I said, shout out to Lunell. Yeah, he's always crushing. He's always working, creating, and not for nothing. Even when I go on Netflix, like, yeah, if you go into the comedy section, there's a good chance there's a Cat Williams special that you haven't seen. If you turn it on, you're going to laugh like hell. So,
He'll be out here again for Netflix as a joke, so I might go check that out. But it's usually a little bit different. He won't have his whole crew with him or anything, but you never know. I'll let y'all know. I'll report back.
Time will tell. But like Jamal said, you know, the comedy war in some ways is good, some ways is bad. But like I said, time will tell for everybody. Just hoping they all continue to make their money and everybody be safe. Because, yeah, some of y'all too old to be going to the emergency room for anything of any kind. So chill the fuck out. Yeah, moving on though, fellas, because now it's been about 20 years moving into some music. Kanye West, obviously, he's been buzzing in the news for all the right, wrong reasons, depending on who you ask. Vultures, just want to throw that out there briefly because the album has done phenomenal thus far, despite it not getting no type of love on the DSP streaming services. So shout out to Kanye, he's independent, but again, going to 20 years, College Dropout. Now, a lot of people always talk about, you know, quote unquote, they want the old Kanye, and that's essentially what they're talking about. So, fellas, 20 years later, do you feel that the College Dropout number one still stands up? And then two, Do you think it's any better or worse now when you look at what Kanye West has been through and what you've seen of him in the media?
This is personally, I feel like the next two albums, what's coming after college, Graduation and
And
Late
late registration.
Registration, and college, I feel like those albums are better than College Dropout.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the College Dropout like everybody is. Of course, I love the singles, All Falls Down, Jesus, what's the other one, Through the
Jesus Walk is
Wire?
on there too, right?
Yeah, but other than that, and the Workout Plan, of
Workout
course,
Plan.
I'm more of a fan of Late Registration and Graduation, bro. I just am. I feel like they better albums. I don't when I go to when I listen to a Kanye album, I don't put Graduation on first. Is it a classic? Yes, but this is just my opinion. I think the other two are better.
What in the
Is
fuck, Kanye? What you mean? What you
Yeah,
mean,
bro.
Jamal? Wait. Bernie Mac, bro. Bernie Mac was classic on there in the intros,
Yeah, he
outros.
was.
Speaking
Man.
of the comedy, and I think that those were obviously big moments on there. And our introduction to Kanye. I didn't really go at it as a comparison to the others. But I think this album, obviously. It's obviously classic, right? I think we can all agree
Right.
on that, as well as his next two albums. So if you think this one's classic, you think the next two albums are classic, then, Jamar?
Right. I think this album is classic. I think his next
Slow
Kanye's
Jam, hey,
first.
Slow Jams is on this too.
Oh yeah.
Almost phenomenal. That's what I was like, I really, I
No,
see.
no, no.
Yeah. Through the
It's a
Wire,
classic. It's a classic.
Jesus Walks, All
It's just
Falls
not.
Down,
It's not my favorite.
Spaceships.
I'm not a fan of
Spaceships
Spaceships.
is ridiculous. That's like I get where you're coming from though, because I will say Late Registration and Graduation are fire, and I can see why a person would
His
say that.
first five albums are classics.
Yeah, I'm about to say they all just ridiculously fire. So it really depends on what you like. I feel like that's like with Jay-Z and just certain artists. But I think I'll say this for me, 20 years later, the album still stands up. But I do often hear a lot of people say they feel like Kanye West is no longer what I hear when I hear that album. What do y'all think of that?
Yeah,
Well,
and
bro,
so
we don't
go
know
ahead,
him
go ahead.
personally. Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say though, his style of music definitely you could see if you listen back to this one, his style of music has changed so drastically that if you're a fan of the new Kanye, you might not be a fan of the old Kanye. It's very easy to separate the old Kanye with the new Kanye with his new grunge type of samples, his grunge sound, not clear, not crisp. Where if you listen to this, it's like, damn, this nigga sound like he was actually in the studio and perfecting shit and actually mixing and mastering. Where now it's just like, oh, he might have just had someone throw some shit together. It sounds dope and polished, but not as perfect and not as amazing as he did in College Dropout. And his just rap style is just so clean. There's some great bars, some great metaphors, punchlines. Whereas of now, you don't know what the hell you're gonna get from Kanye on any given track. He's not dropping bars. He might drop two bars out the whole album, which you'd be like, what'd he say about Urkel? Did I do that? Did you hear that on the new shit?
I gotta go back
He
and
dropped the
I
new
got
Urkel
so.
bar on the Vultures, which was dope. But it's just one line. Like, this was Miracle. Remember, he dropped the Miracle Whips on, I believe that's College
Yeah, I
Dropout,
know what you're
right?
talking about.
Yeah.
So it's like that's the big line, and in this one it's Urkel. But literally, I feel like he has one of those on each and every song. If you listen to College Dropout, where if now it just kind of hit or miss, where he's gonna really drop a bar. So and sometimes I do prefer the new Kanye. I love the new Kanye too. I love the new Vultures album that just dropped. I like his creative style, and also when he collaborates with other artists, love Ty Dolla
But what do
$ign.
you consider
But
the new
really.
Kanye from what on?
Man, you done had about four different Kanyes, man. I bought a
Yeah,
pair of
might be in
Yeezy
three or
pods.
four.
I forgot to tell y'all.
Y'all
But
got them pod? You got the pods?
I threw them shits away 2 days later.
Nah,
What?
nah, nah.
They uncomfortable as fuck, bro.
Oh,
Like,
man.
I
The
mean,
baby
I
shoes?
can't, bro, not even that. You ever wear a pair of Debo slippers?
What a
outside.
defense. Oh, I'm bugging. I'm bugging. Okay, okay.
You feel all the
Bro,
rocks and shit that you.
they comfortable in the house.
Right.
But once you go outside in them,
You
you
walking
feel
on concrete.
you feel everything. Yeah, bro, I threw them shits away. But yeah, it's like four different versions of Kanye, man. I don't think it's fair to call some say I want the old Kanye because we don't know him personally, and it's like saying you want the first iPhone. You can't get the first iPhone, my nigga. It don't exist no more. It exists, but if you want the old Kanye, go listen to the old music. Jay-Z said that. You want the old Jay? What Hov said, bro? Niggas want my old
I'm
shit,
an
buy my
old
old
now.
album. Yeah, bro, he not that Kanye no more. Sorry, it sucks, bro. To you, like Lee Boy said, I kind of like new Kanye sometimes. So I believe in letting people evolve. Now you may not like what they evolve into, but that's on you.
Like you said, I'm not mad at it either way. I just think that, yeah, realistically, to those people who can say, yeah, this ain't the same guy anymore. It's like, well, how have you developed? You know, because I feel like for me,
Exactly.
I can still enjoy that music, and I don't look to Kanye for some of the things I feel like people do. So for me, it's just like Jamal always says, I could take, you know, the music away from whatever BS you're doing in real life, and that's completely measured different. So
And I, whenever I want the old Kanye, I just go listen to him. That's
that's
all you
it,
gotta
right?
do.
He
Yeah.
got, yeah, in each era of Kanye, he has some bangers, bro. He has
Facts.
absolute ba like Father Stretch My Hands. That shit
Yeah.
could come on anywhere. You might lose your whole soul. And then you,
That
that's, is
hey,
that
that's a
God?
vibe.
Yeah. Is that
That's a
even
vibe.
gospel, Kanye? That was before gospel. That was
That
like leading
was
up to
supposed to be,
gospel.
right? That's like
That
the
was that's 2016. That's the one. Is that the one with if
that's
Young Metro don't touch
Chase the
touch
Rapper.
on.
Yep. Life of Pablo.
Yeah,
Beautiful
yeah.
morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a class. That's a
That's Life of
class.
Pablo. So that was kind of leading up into the gospel, Kanye, but then he went full gospel before that. I think his honestly, his peak to me was All of the Lights, you know, that version of him. He's just really a composer.
Right.
And then I still like the I this era I just call the grunge Kanye, where he's just using samples and really just fitting them to what his mold is and really changing the sound of music. He's just changing the sound of music. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect. You know, he embraces his non-singing ass. Like, why he be singing, I don't know. Stop trying to hit. And then he got it's Miss West. Come on,
His
come on now.
daughter fuck with him, man. I love that,
She a
bro.
star too.
Like,
She a star.
on North, yeah,
yeah.
she's hilarious.
I
But
miss West
man, can we
End.
get that Backstreet Boys sample? Can we get that cleared, please?
That was supposed to get cleared, I believe. I don't know if Ozzy Osbourne, his, I don't know what he didn't get clear. He was mad.
Ozzy and they pissing me off. It's like, bro, shut up. Don't nobody be checking for y'all. The show was weird. I'm be honest with you. I never liked them. Sharon is weird looking too. Cut it out. Cut it out.
Facts. That's
And then
facts,
what did old girl say? What was the daughter's name? I can't remember. But she was like, oh, we need Mexicans in the country because they gotta clean our toilets. Did you hear that?
yeah, I remember that shit.
Osbourne?
Yes,
Whatever the
bro.
daughter's name is. So she thought she was like, you know, standing up for the Latin community immigrating over. She's like, yeah, we need them here in America. Who else is gonna clean our
That's one of them. Hey,
Get your elitist ass out of here,
no,
man.
that's
Talk
one of
about
them.
you
Hey,
rock with Mexicans.
we not all like that. Don't
Right.
judge us based off of what she just said. Ignore that. You know what I'm
That
saying?
was
That's embarrassing, bro.
crazy.
That
That
That's
is a
embarrassing.
lot. Yeah, for them to try to look down on Kanye after the shit that they've done, biting the head off
And
bats
it's one
and
of the things like even y'all them saying he's
fuck out
anti-Semitic.
of
It's
here.
like, bro, y'all not Jewish. Y'all look scary. Like the whole family, y'all look scary.
The Addams Family in real life.
Say that again.
They like the
Yeah.
Addams Family if they were real.
Yeah, but it's just even
The
just like you
Osbournes,
said,
yeah.
weird things like the biting heads. It's like don't come out here and tell me, oh, this person, I'm so Jewish that this offends me when you doing God knows what. You know what I mean? Like,
Man. Welcome to America, dog.
don't tell me you Christian and you playing Ouija boards on the weekends. Like, nah, bro. That's
Hey, balance, my nigga. Balance. That's what I call it. That's
not
balance right
back the
there.
hell away from me with that Ouija board. Balance my
Yeah.
ass. Yeah,
Yeah,
not playing.
you ain't lying. Let a nigga come, man. Hey, bro. Let a nigga have a Ouija board around me. Hey, you gotta leave. Hey, you know you have to leave. Like,
I'm a
you
kid
gotta
just to
take
play
that
with that.
with
I'm like,
you.
oh, so you don't want to make it to the next grade. What you mean?
Yeah,
The
fam.
spirit
Matter of
might
fact,
be.
I gotta sage this whole house now. You know what I'm saying? But man, let Kanye be Kanye, man. Whatever Kanye evolved into, deal with it, my nigga. Because we all evolving. You're not the same from 2004. I hope not.
Very
you
true.
Know, 2004, I was fucking 11, bro. Like, what the fuck? Like, no, bro. Like I seen a meme saying, bro, you changed. Like, bitch, I was 13. What the fuck are you talking about? Of course I changed, bro. I changed since 2004, bro. I didn't change. That was like six Jamars ago. I right. swear to God, bro. I was preteen. I ain't hit puberty yet. You had preteen Jamar. You had teenage Jamar. You had young adult college year Jamar. You had mid-20 Jamar. Now you got Jamar who's 30. Like, there's different versions of yourself. Let people evolve. You don't like it all fucking well. Deal with it. I don't agree with everything Kanye do, but that's not, I'm not supposed to. That's the beauty of it.
Nope. Shout out to Ye, man. Still
man,
doing it.
Amen. But yeah, fellas, I just want to move into finally getting into some outfits because obviously, yeah, we mentioned this earlier about Super Bowl, but I need to take on this as a whole because to me, there's a bigger conversation around luxury brands. So for, you know, just to let people know, Jermaine Dupri came out in this outfit. And first off, I want to throw out, I thought he was CeeLo Green for about 10 seconds when he first, I kid you not. And the first thing I said next was, I was like, why is he so little? And they was like, that's Jermaine Dupri. And I was like, my bad, player, because I know he about 5'2", 5'3". Cool.
Bro, I was watching the game with my best friend, bro. We was watching this. That nigga said, oh, shit, that's CeeLo Green. I was like, yo, bro, that's not CeeLo Green. Like, you got Jermaine Dupri.
It looked just like him. And them socks he had on, those, I feel like, unless you're like a 5-year-old black girl, like those don't
fly. That's the little church frills, right?
Let me read you what Jermaine Dupri put on IG, man. Let me
why you pulling up? This is what I saw. He looked like the boss baby. When he do his hair like that, when he just shave his head,
I don't know. But I just want to say I was proud to see Lil Green because I was like, bro, to slim down, he to take care of his health. Like,
yeah,
I was like,
hey, it's the opposite.
Let me find it.
People talk shit on jorts, and I you know I'll rock a jean short, but the jean suit, I mean the short suit, my bad.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's
suit shorts.
Look, this is what Jermaine Dupri had to say on Instagram. Ha, okay, I ain't have time for y'all last night. I was too drunk. Me and the homies performed at the Super Bowl. I'm just really seeing y'all got me fucked up. But I would say it's funny as hell, yo. For real, you see this? P.S. We came to the game with our clothes on backwards. I ain't no regular nigga.
No.
You still look like you in third grade and you in a Chinese.
Look, man. I support Pharrell with the Louis V thing, but I'm not one of those niggas. Just because it's name brand, that don't mean I'ma like it, bro. I'm not you. Yeah, have y'all dealt with somebody just because it's name brand they're weird, no matter if it's ugly or not?
Plenty of time. I know people that. Yeah.
I'm not one of those niggas, bro. If something ugly, I can't rock with it. I don't care who made it. Who, when, how much it costs. If some, man, look, bro, maybe I'm just not a fashion person, bro, but he would have been just fine if he wouldn't have worn those socks. It was the socks.
Yeah, the socks killed him. Because like I said, all we thought was all the church kids, like I said, with little cheap ruffles, and you paid $900 for these socks, allegedly.
And I will say the way the shorts was set up just made him look extra stubby or something. Like you just got them, you got them calves out, my nigga. Put them calves away, bro. That shit looked wild. Would
have been Jada Pinkett Smith. Like it just was. There was so many issues. And it's like I know it's worth some bread. I know you performed the Super Bowl, but you could still look crazy. Like I feel like, yeah, you're not above critique.
And then you saw how he was dressed. I don't know if you guys seen. I was watching his stories a little bit just to check it out. But he had a dope jacket on, some J's on before that, a hat. You know, just looked real Atlanta-ish. Yeah, it's like, bro, you downgraded for the performance. Like, I don't. That was crazy.
Well, I don't know how you feel about the whole Louis V for real collab.
I think it was smart on their end, but I'm going to be real with you. People could go and make it mad. The reason I'm not necessarily checking for some of that stuff is because, like, why not at least, I think it's cool. If you black and you want to do that, make our own luxury brand. Like, why we? Why I think
man,
I did?
You know we ain't gonna never do that.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying that's the only reason why. It's like, don't get me wrong. If you already wear Louis, go for it. But if you're broke ass, don't wear Louis. You about to get your taxes to buy the Pharrell collab. Sit your ass down. Like, this is not for you. Like, I feel like this is for the people already getting
with
it.
The
but
multicolored camouflage, like,
yeah, if you got the fake book bags and the Louis ones, keep buying those. Don't get this new one that's $1,500 that costs more than the MacBook. It's not in your budget. Like, that's what I mean. Like, those people is the most. Let's put it this way. Most people I know, they can't afford $900 socks. I don't care what they paycheck. Their bills say otherwise.
For me, I just don't know the form that I would personally wear stuff like that. It just never seems like it would be worth it to me. Like, if I wanted to impress someone in a corporate setting, that's not going to do it. I'd rather you could get a $10 suit jacket and you'll be way better off versus having this $1,000 Louis that just really is. Does it really look good? Or is it just trendy? Like those socks, I can't find a reason that I would ever wear
ever.
Them.
Yeah, that's some entertainment Met Gala. That shit strictly just for entertainers.
When I'm trying to impress, I personally have on pants, so you're not gonna see my socks. You know what I'm saying? Like, when does a nigga wear shorts? Like, except for at the beach, and I ain't putting those on at the beach. So,
because once you say your socks is worth $900, let somebody spill some Kool-Aid on these $900 socks. That's a fight.
It's a problem.
You're not even gonna want to wear $900 socks because you ain't gonna want to mess them up.
This is my point, Jamal. You're not even gonna want to wash them because all you're gonna say when they get washed, you're right. Gonna he's gonna be like, man, we steam washed them. He gonna be like, nah, bro, you ripped my socks. Now what?
I gotta take my socks to the cleaners. Like, come on. Like, be hot. If my girl dry my socks too long and they don't fit, they a little tight now, I'm gonna be hot.
Those socks is worth more than most people's couches that I know.
Man, I don't get it. And maybe I'm just not rich enough, but I just don't see myself investing in. I'd rather just get the Nike socks.
I'm gonna keep it a stack with y'all. I'm gonna be real with you. When I get rich, I wish I would buy socks anyway. I'm staying in the fucking house. I'm not buying no socks. Where am I going?
Socks for what? If I'm rich and I got on some, because he had on loafers with him, I'm putting baby powder on them bitches, bro. I ain't fucking wearing no socks, nigga. What the fuck?
Oh, and you good, that be smooth, but it's just like certain things. I feel like even if you uber rich, do it really make sense when you got all this money? You could do as
bro.
You
can. I'm telling you, man, them niggas a different type of bro celebrity. Just
wearing the fluffy frills, them socks though, the 6-year-old girl socks, like the fold downs, the fold,
bro.
The Walmart fold. Nah, man.
I hope
socks is in Walmart. And they said this actually on the Joe Budden podcast. If those socks are in Walmart, you're not picking those up as a man. Like, you're not. So what are you doing? Why are you picking them up? Why are you rocking them during the Super Bowl? If those were $10 socks, you're not wearing them.
He just want
booties. Yeah, the booties. That's what those is right there.
He just wanted to support Pharrell. But man, Pharrell got other shit.
Right. You could have got the hat, the wallet. There was other stuff that you said that you could have got.
Wallet, a grown man shit.
Yeah. I would have even been cool if you would have got the purse. Because at least it's like I see you wanted to hold some stuff. Like, hey, what did you want to do?
I'm dropping socks. 1,200. It's gotta be a big ass LV. You gotta know this is worth $1,200 because I can't have you guessing that I just got regular booties on. Like, like a nigga like me, I don't know.
I'll be honest with you. I don't care how much money you got. You know what I mean? If I ever see you in them booties, we gonna tell you about yourself, bro. You
know, nah, that ain't it. Man. That ain't it. I'll spend that $900 on the iPad.
And that's cool. That's dope. Like you said, get the iPad, get the new Oculus. That's like $500. Shout out to Facebook. Y'all should sponsor us. But that's something that makes a little more sense. But I'm not. Yeah,
this is the Apple music. He could have came out in the new Apple joints. The goggles.
Yeah. Yeah. Yo, you didn't even have to put them on. If he would have put them to the side, that would have been even
like the Usher, how he used to rock the guy.
I ain't even wearing them. I'm not even in virtual reality. I am virtual reality. What's up? Like, who knows?
Man, I love Jermaine Dupri, man. I'm a huge So Def fan, but god damn, bro, you made it hard to be a fan of you this weekend, my nigga.
It's 2024. Your shorts, like, if you wearing shorts, they gotta be above the knee now. It's either pants to me. Like, you can't wear them long ass crisscross shorts no more. That shit just look wild, bro. I don't know. That shit was looking wild to me. So Shout out to shout out to LVJD Pharrell.
Yeah,
shout out to
Pharrell still, but yeah, that's I'm a
bad. Yeah, and we just not rich enough to understand yet. Maybe. Man, who knows? I hope I ain't never.
The way my pants are tailored, it's just gonna be looking fluffy at the, but they're gonna be sticking out. It's gonna look crazy. I don't see it. Yeah, I'd rather go no socks.
He's too cool for me. Maybe he right when he was talking about he might be too cool for me. You got it, sir.
I guess they are doing the bell bottom pants. That's like the new thing.
And I think that right there, what you just said, that's a technical foul where I'm from. The bell bottoms. There's no men I know doing the bell bottoms. That's the new shit.
Man, they going loose at the bottom with the kind of tight and tailored around the knee.
Even that, anything tight and tailored, what are you, a woman? What are you, a Coke bottle? Cut it out. Like, I'm not jacking this.
Yeah, bro. They are.
Gotta follow Nike Mikey, man. Follow Nike Mikey, man. He doing it right, but he don't got the booties on, so that might be the next level. I don't know. We're gonna see.
Shout out to everybody though. Of course, we all just playing for you sensitive motherfuckers out there.
Right.
Take them shorts off, bro. You 50 years old.
Take them socks off. Fuck that.
He should have came out in a tuxedo, man. Come on, man. Come out correct. You old, man. Bro.
Next time.
Man, this has been episode 122, man. Another episode in the bag, bro. Fellas, let the people know all your socials, what you got coming up, all that good stuff.
Hey, Quiet on the Set trailer out now. I do make a couple appearances in that, so make sure you guys check that out on Investigation Discovery. I believe their Instagram, just drop a comment, tag me, and then also visit splatcon.com. And request a guest. We are very close to tracking down a venue and getting some amazing sponsors. It's gonna be dope, y'all. It's gonna be dope. And you know, I'm gonna just give a little excuse if you guys came to the end of this podcast. It looked like Maya gonna show up. It looked like we have Maya. I'm gonna just put it out there. She gotta come down. But don't mark my words. She's not officially announced. But we need to have that Take You There performance at SplatCon. So y'all make sure you support. And if you want to request a guest, make sure her name is involved.
Hey.
It's close, y'all. It's close. This close. We just need to
be in the building. I gotta be in the building.
The xylophone for that part. I can hit the ding. I practice. But like you said, y'all, definitely make sure y'all stay in tune. Soon to Quiet on the Set, March 17th. Like I said, HBO Max. Follow me, Real Matt Corbin.
Hold on, Matt. Hold up, before you continue, everybody, man, Matt didn't hit 500,000 views.
Hey. How do we miss it?
Congratulations, brother.
Appreciate it. Now, shout out to Jamal for sure. Definitely everybody who tuned in. I have a ball. The hilarious. Like, trust me, if you haven't seen, you know, the whole series, we talk about anything 80s, 90s, early 2000s, even some a little further back. If it's hip-hop, R&B, pop, and they just said some what the F, I will cover it. So, yeah, I appreciate that, y'all. Seriously.
Yeah. Dope.
But, yeah, just finishing my spiel. Like I said, videos everywhere. Like I said, y'all, make sure y'all tune in. Maya, if you do come, like I said, I'm on the xylophone, bro. I got, like, 6 months to practice. Like,
dun, dun, dun. Yeah, we out here.
Nah, man. Follow me on Instagram at Jamal Joseph Jermaine. Did I say my name right?
Nah, hell nah. You said Joseph Jermaine.
Jamal Jermaine. Man, whatever. Follow me on Instagram.
Jermaine Joseph Adams? What is it? Wait.
Jamal Joseph Jermaine Adams. Yeah, I'm confusing my fucking self. Hey, man. Don't do me out there, man. Let me make it. Follow me on I'm fucking myself up. Nah, follow me on Instagram. And if you're sensitive, don't follow me. I ain't got time for that shit. But most importantly, man, follow us on Instagram at 80902005. Same on Thread, same on TikTok. Man, help us reach 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, man. Subscribe to us, bro. You know what I'm saying? Follow
right
and support.
There, that's
where this content is going to mainly go, along with Spotify, Apple Podcasts, AHA Radio, Amazon, Google, you know what I'm saying? This has been 80s, 90s, 2000 Bob Podcast. I am Jamal.
Lee Boy.
Matt Corbin.
And we out.
Peace.
Peace.